Good morning, sir. My name is Makosi. I'm the chair of this ad hoc committee on the appointment of the public protector. As communicated to you, sir, we are giving you a 10-minute slot for you to tell South Africans why you are the best person for the position of the public protector. And I'm going to hand over to you, sir. Thank you. Your 10 minutes starts now.
Is it okay? Madam Chair, I would have liked to give you further documents. Normally in court, when we present, we give the judge a document. The document is not perfect because it was done in a hurry, but it gives a lot of information about me. With your permission, I could do that if you...
You have your 10 minutes, sir. So whatever you want to do with that 10 minutes and you think it's going to do justice to your case, we're happy with that.
Yeah. I've got the documents here if you want to distribute it to the panel. There are two. It's a presentation by me, Chris Madimeng Mukoditwa. I'm starting with the origins of the public protector in Sweden, where I'd gone to study at the instance of the Black Lawyers Association. In 1994. This originated when King Gustav of Sweden in 1809 was kicked out, and the concept came from that because he was a dictator. In the Republic of South Africa, we also abolished or demolished the apartheid regime. And then we got this. But the Swedish model, like any other countries that have this, are differing from ours. Ours, I think, is the most powerful one. It gives the public protector very big powers, as shown by the Constitutional Court in the recent case of EFF versus the National Assembly, etc. That case has actually cemented the powers of the public protector. That is, the public protector is so powerful, nobody is exempted. The president is a good example, this case, and anybody else, including the judges, in my opinion, except you cannot deal with not appointing the public protector. Powers to refer a matter to police or to the prosecutor may subpoena witnesses. In other words, if you defy the subpoena, you may have to pay. I've not seen anyone do that so far, but a subpoena means taking you by force, or you get prosecuted for that. The current status of the public protector is, according to the Constitutional Court, defined, well defined, And the public protector must have support from legislation, support from certain offices of the state. And only the court, the constitutional court, can make a final finding like it did. There are cases that define more powers. That's the case of South African Broadcasting Corporation Limited, Democratic Alliance and others, SCA, the Public Protector versus Mail and Guardian and others, SCA case also. These cases have been endorsed by the Constitutional Court. In other words, you can't deviate from that. The Constitutional Court is the apex court. Once they've said this is wrong, it is wrong. Maybe you can go to the international tribunals. Now, I want to quickly say why I am the best candidate. And I'll do so by indicating the Constitution, the powers that come from the Constitution, the most powerful law in this country. I'll read the preamble of the Constitution. We, the people of South Africa, recognize the injustices of the past, honors those who suffered for justice and freedom in our land, respect those who develop our country, and believe that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, united in diversity. My contribution is that of a worker who built and developed my country to liberate and suffered in the process. When I was a student, I was a member of National Catholic Students Federation, traveled overseas countries to represent our organizations, visited student Christian movements in London, visited World Council of Churches in Switzerland, where I met Brigelia Bam when she was working there. I also visited anti-apartheid movements, attended Pax Romana conferences, represented University Christian Movement in Ibadan, Nigeria.
You have two minutes remaining.
My political activity, blah, blah, blah. Sharpeville, started in Sharpeville. I've been born a national leader. I've been in several organizations at national level. And I got banning orders of 7 years, in house arrest. And during the house arrest, I was arrested again when June 16 came up and held under preventative detention. So I know exactly what breaking or taking people's rights and their sufferings, I know best. I have the necessary qualifications, academic qualifications. I've got a master's in human rights. I've done all the constitutional requirements, laws, like constitution, political science, labor law, et cetera, et cetera. Some of these things are well illustrated in my, in my CV, if you'll find them. I worked for the special pensions of the struggle group as chairperson of the review board. I was like a judge. I was serving all liberation movements, ANC, PAC, ZAPO, a Black Consciousness Movement, granting them special pension. Hosanna is one of the examples. who was in the United Nations and was rejected by the junior board because he worked for the United Nations and had a scholarship. I said, no, it has nothing to do with South African, South African pensions, special pension. So I granted him. There's a guy who wrote some letter and said, this girl was not a gorilla. And I knew why she was involved in the struggle. And just because he proposed and she rejected him, I granted him. I then granted her.
Your 10 minutes is over, unless you just want me to give you 10 seconds to just complete what you were saying.
Yes, madam. I work for the special pensions. I've been involved in political struggle, trials, with my nominator, Judge Ratam Kwateng. I did a lot of work there, talking to people, defending Mokgotso Seahlolo. I was sitting in the courts, and I was sitting in the courts where people were executed. Three guys were executed. It's in the document. I regret the document is not perfect, but it has a lot of information. Thank you, madam.
Thank you very much.
So it will appear that there is a judgment against you by Standard Bank, which is not disclosed in the questionnaire. I want you to comment about around your fit and properness of holding this post in view of the fact that you have been given a chance to disclose any other thing that you think the committee must know without any screening. Thank you very much, Chair.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I'd be interested to know in your questionnaire that you filled in, the handwritten one, on page 5, paragraph 2.2. In your opinion, what are the key challenges facing our country and what role should the public protector play in supporting our democracy? You answered to that question that the prisons department should not be state-funded, that prisoners should be self-sustaining. I'd like you to elaborate on why you think that and why you think it falls within the purview of the public protector. He also mentioned that South African civil servant salaries are far too high. Again, why does that fall within the purview? Why would that be something the public protector would concern itself with? And you also said the public protector should assist in the reduction of gun use. Again, please, what has that to do with the Office of the Public Protector?
I didn't get the last question.
The last one. You're of the view that the public protector should assist in the reduction of gun use. Why do you think that's something the public protector, bearing in mind what the function of the Office of the Public Protector is, why is that something that the public protector would concern themselves with? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Tate Mokotuto. Moremadi Mutapo is my name. Can you see me?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, Tate Mokotuto. What are the attributes which a public protector should possess? And then do you think, looking into your CV, do you think, are you having those attributes? And please give example relevant to the position in terms of propriety and fitness of the office. Thank you.
Okay, Fanta.
Thanks, Chair. Morning, Babu Mokotetwa. Mine's just a question of clarity.
Morning.
You've been an attorney since 1973 and an advocate since 1994. Have you ever considered, well, that's what your CV says, is that correct? So your CV says you've been an attorney since 1973 and an advocate since 1994. Have you ever considered applying for the bench? If you have, how did how did your application go? How did the interview go? And if you haven't considered the bench, why not? Thank you.
Yes, sir. From me, it's a very simple one. You know, that is why interviews are very important. We received something from you. Your CV tells us that you wrote a thesis for your LLM on justice for the indigent, and I think maybe that's what attracted members to that. But I'm looking, I am not an ageist, and I just want to be honest with you, but I want to hear what's your view on your age, and given the current challenges that this office is going to demand that somebody be energetic, because there is a lot of communication that has to happen. You liaise with a variety of stakeholders. And how are you going to manage the different stakeholders? And which are these stakeholders, in your view, that are critical to ensure that the Public Protector Office functions at its best? Thank you. Over to you, sir.
I hope I'm going to answer the first question correctly. If I remember that well, it was about independence and independence of the public protector. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes. The public protector is independent, and the independence is enhanced by the Constitution. Not every Tom and Dick and Harry can challenge the powers of the public protector. And it's up to the courts to interpret that. And the public protector needs to be guided in the enhancing of the independence, supported by certain institutions of the National Assembly. I don't know whether that's adequate.
We move to the next question.
The next question is to disclose the standard of that I'm setting for the public protector. Am I correct?
No, it's not correct.
I was writing very briefly, and I thought we'll deal with your question.
The question was, you were given a questionnaire to fill and given an opportunity to disclose any other thing.
Oh, Selnet Bank, yes.
That relates to yourself and the fitness and properness of your candidates. So there's a Standard Bank issue that has not been disclosed by yourself. So can you comment on that in relation to your fitness and properness to hold this office?
I think I'm very fit to hold this office. The Standard Bank, if I remember well, the Standard Bank, we've been fighting over quite a number of things. And I can't remember which one exactly is the issue. Otherwise, I would have disclosed it. I am prepared to disclose anything about myself. Perhaps it was an oversight But it's not a criminal offense. And it might be, I never committed a crime. My crime was to be involved in politics and was arrested several times. But for criminal work, I don't remember. I don't remember any criminal possession. I am fit and proper to do the job in the sense of my integrity. I've got integrity. One example is when I was working for the public, for the government special pension. I granted a person who deserved pension, the pension. I also found that I was not granted what I deserved. I was granted less. And as chairman of the review board, I could have changed that. But I told myself, integrity is required. I can't do that for myself. And the other things, I think I've been very honest. I've worked with a judge who's very honest, Judge Mokgwatlheng, who nominated me. We worked for years on political trials, and as with him, also as an assessor. He knows me for 45 years, and we have worked for them. He always wants me to be doing something. He nominated me. And when you are nominated by such a character who's blameworthy, who's blameless, I think that should be taken into consideration. He is protecting his reputation and is not prepared to tarnish himself with nominating somebody who has no good character. I don't know what else can I say, but I'm just praising myself here and saying that that was not a criminal matter. I can reveal a lot about Standard Bank, what I did to them.
Okay, I think we will leave it at that. We don't need to anything about Standard Bank.
Yes.
And can you answer the other questions, sir?
His question. Your other question, sir, is... Oh, hey. I was writing very fast. It's salaries. Is it about salaries? About salaries that were, that us.
Because that's the old question that is being answered now.
Hey? Have I answered it? About salaries, I was quoting, if you look well, I was quoting Mbeki, the author. I was quoting him, we were talking about salaries, and I say that it is indeed, the public protector can do something about that. What is the public protector can do is to go and talk to the people involved and say, this is not right.
You really wanted to pursue that, Honorable Breitenbach?
Not at all. I don't. I just want some explanation on the gun issue, why you think the public protector should involve themselves with reducing the use of guns.
Oh, the use of guns. Definitely.
Why is that a public protector issue? That's the question.
There's no issue that is not a public protector issue. As long as our government is issuing guns like in America to criminals, there are people who in court are sentenced and are told you should not hold a gun. We have about 3 million guns, legal guns, which are now in I want to say these guns are unlawful guns now. Now, the more guns you issue, the more unlawful guns you have. and the more keep people you kill. This is evidenced by the what's named by the things in Zululand, where people, 12 people have died, 12 or 13, people have died because of the freeness of guns. The gun-free movement, which I once associated with, was striving to take out that. Now, it's the duty of the public protector not to perhaps to investigate and see the role the guns are playing in our lives, and then go to the relevant authorities, tell them these guns can be treated this way. Perhaps after getting the gun-free society to give some information to the public protector. That's how the public protector. What I believe is that the public protector can go anywhere and say, this is wrong. I see this is wrong. For instance, I saw children walking, crossing a river, school children crossing a river, and they are going to school. It was on TV. You see children crossing the river. You know they can drown anytime. Now, public protector must protect the lives of those children by going to the relevant authority and saying, look, this is wrong. This is unhealthy. Why is there no facility?
I think it's you've made your point, and we do understand your perspective of the role of the public protector. If you can just speak very briefly on whether you don't think that your age works against you in terms of this position, given the fact that it has a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure that comes with this position.
Oh, I thought it was your question, and it will come at the end.
You are still answering. Okay.
No, there are lots of questions that I needed to answer. Okay, madam, let me deal with that. Why I think the public protector, my age, 77, I don't hide it, but I'm fit, and I'm a bodybuilder. I've said it in my CV. I've trained a few bodybuilders at 48. Way back at 48, and I'm fit. I walk in the what's name 15 kilometer Soweto marathon. So, if I can do that, I can. This is nothing.
You've answered that question. I don't have any further questions. Honorable Shuvambui, we have a further question, sir. Okay. Honorable Motapo is bringing to my attention. Honorable Motapo, which aspect of your question was not answered? Attributes of the public protector. What are the key attributes of the public protector? Of the ideal public protector.
The ideal public protector must be a qualified person, must know the law in all its areas, must be able to deal with people, must also be able to to be creative, to be a mediator, to mediate where the need arises. I don't know whether that satisfies.
Okay. Is that all you wanted to say on this specific question?
It's not all. There are quite a number of things I can say.
Okay. But the prominent ones that you wanted the panel to hear, you've said them.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Honorable Shivambu?
No, thanks, Chairperson. I've listened to the struggle credentials of
the interviewee, his Pan-Africanist background, his Black consciousness background. I'm interested in the philosophical outlook of all the candidates so that we know what we're dealing with when we've got a public protector. That is why in all the questions we ask, I want to know what is your view philosophically about the land question in South Africa, how it has been resolved since 1994. Do you think that it has been adequately dealt with, and what could be the role of the public protector in dealing with that question, the land question, that the Surveyor General says about 79% still belongs in white hands. What is your perspective on that? But then two, is you possibly were paying attention to the discourse that happened in Parliament on the powers of the public protector. Before the judgment of the Constitutional Court, what was your view on the argument then of the ANC that say that the public protector's powers are limited, its recommendations, against a view that was saying that those were binding, and broadly that. And then in that, you must then respond to the question of the relationship between the public protector and Parliament. And then the last question will be your understanding of the Executive Members Ethics Act and code. How do we enforce that meaningfully? Because in most instances, complaints will come against those that hold power. How are you going to handle that? Thank you very much.
I thought,
Chairperson, just quickly, I think maybe to afford the opportunity, I think that the quicker answers will assist the interviewer instead of the list of questions, because they fall off when he has to respond to all of them. Can't we afford an opportunity to, we ask and then he responds and then we move on like that? I think it will even save time.
I think let's treat each case on its merits, because some are able to grasp, they are able to answer different questions at the same time, you know? So I think let's treat each case on merit, but I would exercise that going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Over to you, sir. There are three questions to you. The first one is the land question. If you can dispense with that one.
The land question. As I said in my CV, I belong to the PAC in 1960. I've never changed that. And I belong to the Black Consciousness Movement. I never changed that. I believe the land must be fairly redistributed, fairly redistributed. Actually, I'm a victim of occupation of my grandfather's land somewhere. And I've dealt with land issues elsewhere. So I agree that the public protector should assist. As I said, the public protector should assist coming with ideas from all sides. We're nation building now. From all sides to say, this is what should happen. Talk to the people who are having the land. Try and negotiate. And try and see if you can't. I'm not saying you must repossess the land. But you must try and see, mediate, and try and find a solution to that. You can't just say, you are from Holland. You don't have land yet. We've passed that. We're now trying to build a nation, as we said in our constitution. In other ways, we're trying to get everybody into the club.
So you can move to the next question. The member wants you to pronounce yourself on the powers of the public protector, especially in relation to the Concord judgments. What are your views?
To what?
Of the views on the powers of the public protector. Is the remedial, or probably you need to just unpack to us what's your understanding of the remedial action?
Well, the
is it binding or not?
The remedial action is binding. I referred to the Constitutional Court decision. And there's no way of gainsaying that. or challenging that. The remedial action with the president was binding. That's what the court, the highest court in the land pronounced. So the powers, the remedial action was endorsed, and the president, maybe I should say, the public protector can prosecute anybody. When I say prosecute, can investigate anybody, regardless of their status. I said this, I thought, including judges, except that, in my understanding of the law, except that there's an exception made by the Constitution, to the effect that only decisions are not the person. But there's nobody who's immune, in my view, from investigation. But the decisions of the court, magistrate or high court, cannot be challenged, cannot be investigated. There was something also?
The members, the executive members' ethics code.
Executive?
The executive.
Yes.
Members' code of ethics, basically. Yeah. That's the question. The question is around it. Or you would like to rephrase it?
Yes, like.
I was just reminding him.
So. The Public Protector's Office is established by Section 181 and 182 of the Constitution.
Yes.
And then it says that the relevant legislation will define the powers.
Yeah.
But additional to that,
yeah,
there is an Act of Parliament called the Executive Members Ethics Act,
yeah,
which establishes the powers of the Public Protector as in relation to the members of the Executive of Cabinet. And in most instances, there have been some conflict there in terms of where ultimately does the Public Protector report to, because it says she must report to the president. And in many instances, that had not been utilized to its maximal impact. So I wanted to understand what will be your role if we appoint you as a Public Protector in relation to the functions and powers of the Public Protector as contained in the Executive Members Ethics Act.
The Constitution of this country is the highest law. That provision doesn't exist in the Constitution. Where's my Constitution? It doesn't exist in the Constitution, but it exists in, as far as I know, it exists in legislation. Now, what is superior? The superior thing is the what's name? The superior thing is the Constitution. So it might be written like that. It's like saying the power of the, in terms of the law, the power, the deputy protector can serve a renewable period. Whereas in the Constitution, we don't talk about the deputy president. We talk about a combination of people who are working with the Public Protector. Now, the Public Protector, for a reasonable period, for a reasonable thing, has been appointed for 7 years, is appointed for 7 years, which is unrenewable, non-renewable. But that of the deputy, what's named protector, is renewable after 7 years in terms of legislation. It's up to the court to decide on that issue. It's the constitutional court that will clarify the issue. But as far as I'm concerned, I think there's something wrong with that. It's like legislation says you can't investigate legislation, the law, Public Protector Act, says you can't, it talks about the Public Protector who cannot investigate the courts. That's not correct. It can investigate the courts, but not the decisions of the court. Have I answered you, sir?
I'm not satisfied, but it's okay.
Is there anything that you would like to say to the committee before we allow you to go? Is there anything you would like to say to the panel?
I was cut short. My 10 minutes ran short.
Your 10 minutes? Yeah. Your 10 minutes were long finished. Yeah. I wanted to know if there is anything. I'm allowing you an opportunity to say anything that you think this panel must know that probably you were not able to say during the process of the interview.
Yes.
In other words, your final word. What is your final word to this panel and to the South Africans?
How much time do I have for that?
You can be as crisp as possible. One of the things that I've been saying to other candidates as well, you know, the aspect of communication as a skill is a very important element of this position, because you've got to be able to communicate messages in a very succinct way, you know, and still get it across to the people that you are directing the message to. So that is why I am giving you that opportunity. And that is why we have these interviews, because we want you to look at all those different aspects that are critical for this position.
It's very important for the person who occupies this position to be I don't want to say hard-nosed, but to be a person who is well-versed in the law and who knows institutions of government. Like a person who has studied public administration, knows what it is all about, who knows labor law, knows when the labor issues are to be tackled. And the public protector should be an educator of the community, the public. He should be able to be accessed. Access of the public protector right now, I think it's quite poor, especially in the rural areas. There are 9 protectors in the provinces, but do they reach the people? They don't. That's why I wrote about access to justice. I'm thinking of that. You can't say you are accessing the community if you are just having an office in some urban township or some urban area. You need to be where the people are, especially in this country where people are poor and depressed. They don't know what to do. The legal fees that we charge as lawyers are so exorbitant that the ordinary person can't afford them. The legal aid is not providing sufficient defense. In fact, very little defense for civil matters. All criminals are benefiting. That's one thing sure, benefiting. There's no guy who appears in court without an advocate from the legal aid. But many people lose their homes, lose their rights and privileges, land and etc., where the public or the legal aid refuses or is not allowed. I don't know what the position to do that. So we need a defender of the Constitution, which is the public protector, who can refer these people. If the public protector referred matters to the legal aid, for instance, they should be bound. If a person comes and the public protector thinks this person must get legal aid and sends this person to the legal aid, and the legal aid turns him down, the public protector must investigate the legal aid. I don't want to talk too much about my suffering and all that. All I can say is that having built this country, I think I was party to that, according to the preamble, I am left with some years, maybe few, to see it built the way I envisaged it and the way the constitution that we have all accepted says. There's been a lot of corruption in this country. There's a lot of crime. Many people are killed needlessly. There's a lot of protest. Why are these people protesting? Who knows why they are protesting? Who takes the initiative to see what solution can be found? Nobody. We are all sitting waiting that they must take us to court, or if they can. There's nobody who says, what are people, you have banned 29 schools. What's the reason? Why can't we go and talk to the delimitation committee and see what really caused this thing to happen? We're not doing that. We can arrest them and send them to jail for banning schools. In my studies, I also suffered. I was expelled from 3 universities. Well, I was an activist. Only WITS. In WITS, well, I failed because I was too much involved in political trials, and I didn't have time, and I didn't care. I didn't care. I wanted to protect those people who were called terrorists. I would rather go from Johannesburg to Vereeniging looking for Jackson, a golfer. And it took time. That's how I sacrificed my life. And I think I'm not happy to see the house I built being demolished. I don't think the next... I came to the public protector in 2002, interviewed, but that time you had to be ANC to be pushed in until the last ANC was pushed in, turned away from the whole thing. But you had to be. Perhaps it was good because they were building a nation without any rumblings. I could have used my grandfather's history and said, my grandfather was, what's his name? My grandfather in George Koch was chairman, was member of the ANC, my mother's father. And that my father's uncle, Letalo, who's well known in the ANC circle, my uncle, he's the one who paid Lobola to my mother, to the other ANC.
I think you've made your point, sir, and we've heard. Thank you very much.